Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Sadi Beis, continuing here in the 10th parak of Misha HaYanasui, and we are in the stories where the simon of the stories was on the top of Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, and not the agadic stories, halachic stories. Hang in there, in about 10 blot or so, we'll have some amazing agadata, the end of Ksubas, last couple of blot, will be some unique stories, but for now we're still in the halachic sections, and we are in the halachic stories with a simon. Again, as I said, on the top of Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara gives a simon to remember all of these stories. So we discussed two of the stories already. The first one was a person owed 1,000 zuz, and he sold two items of his. The first two stories, either he sold two palaces or he sold two pieces of land, and the Baalei Chovos took one, they wanted to take the other, and he made them a deal, either you keep it for more than you bought it for, or you take the cash. Right? That was the deal, and we related that back to our Mishnah, where the Yesomim also tried to be Ma'ale, bring up the value of the Yerusha that was left, because they wanted to get the Ksuvas Banan Dichrin, and as we learned, there's only Ksuvas Banan Dichrin if there is leftover real Yerusha, the Moser Dinar. So they tried to make a Moser Dinar, even though it did not exist, and we mentioned in the Mishnah that they cannot do that. What if they're Mochel? What if the other Yisomim are Mochel? Say, okay, you can consider it that. That was a discussion in the Shidduch Kubetzos, whether that would be okay. Either way, those were the first two stories that were quoted. Now we're up to story number three, which the Simon had called Mitzvah. Right, the first two were Aleph and Mea, and now we're up to the one that's called Mitzvah. So here we go, about a little more than halfway down on Daf Sadi Aleph Amud Beis. Hahu Gavar Davi Maski Bey Mea Zuze. So there was somebody that owed Maski Bey Mea Zuze. He owed 100 Zuz. Shachiv, and then he died. So now his Yarshim owe 100 Zuz. Shavak Katina Da'ara, he left a little piece of land. Tavi Shavya Chamshin Zuzi, that was worth 50. So he owes 100, and his piece of land was worth 50. Asa Balchov Katarifley, the Balchov came, we know, the Metatlan of the Yisomim are not Meshubid, only the Karka. So the Balchov came and took a piece of land from the Yesomim. This relates to what we discussed yesterday about Shibudim also. What's the difference between Karka and Metaltalin when it comes to Yesomim? The answer is the Karka, that was already connected to the Baal Chov before the father died. Right? He already had, you want to use the Lashon Mixas Kinyan, you want to use the other Lashonos, but he already had a Shibud on that. As he goes and takes it. So the Baal Chov came and took the piece of land that was worth 50. Azul Yasmi Yavu Lechabshin Zuze. And now the Yesomim came and they gave the Balchov 50 Zuz. What was their Kavana? Mistama, it's finished now, right? The Balchov took 50 and now they paid 50. So that's 100. So now Shalom Al Yisrael. The problem is, Hadar Katar, not yet. They gave the 50 in the hope of getting the piece of land back. Right, that was what they hoped to do. But then the Baal Chov turned around and took it again. Hada Katarafla. They gave him 50, and now they took their land back, but he's like, no, he still owes me 50. So he took the land again. So they're like, that's not fair. So what happened? So also the Kabbid Abaya, they came in front of Abaya. What's the din? What do you mean? We got this land back. So why should he be able to take it again? So Amar Lahen, Abaya says to them, Mitzvah Ala Yisomim Lefra Chova Savihen. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah. Like we had earlier, we'll mention that again in a second. We had earlier, a couple of daf ago, the mitzvah on Yesomim to repay loans. It's a mitzvah daraisa to give a loan, right, in kesef tal vezami, but it's a mitzvah to repay a loan. Mitzvah lefrachov asavien, and therefore, hani kamai mitzvah avdisu. So when you paid the 50 zuz, so you did a mitzvah. Great, wonderful. And hashta ki tar bedinkatarif, and the person is being tarif, he's allowed to. He's owed 100. So you paid 50, great. But now the other 50 is meshubad to the loan, and therefore he's allowed to take it. I'm sorry, there's nothing else that I could do for you, says Abaya. It is interesting that it's Abaya that's talking here. Abaya, we know, was a yasom, and he's the one that's saying mitzvah yisom lefer achov asavien. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, machlokas rishonim, what Abaya's real name was. Right, was it, you might say, Abaya is Abaya. What was his real name? There's a Rashi, I think, in Maseches Gittin, that says that his real name was, this is a more popular version, his real name was Nachmeni. That's what he's called sometimes in the Gemara. Abaya's real name was Nachmeni. The problem was that he had a good friend named Rabba Bar Nachmeni. And Abaye was an orphan. His mother died in childbirth. His father died before he was born. So he grew up in Rav Nachmani's house. He was always there. And Rav Nachmani felt funny calling Abaye by his name Nachmani because that was his father's name. So imagine if you have a good friend and your father in the same house, you call the name and it's your father's name and it's your friend's name. So it was somewhat uncomfortable, maybe even a violation in certain cases. So what Rabbi Nachmani did was he gave a Nachmani a nickname, Abaya. What is Abaya? One of two possibilities, either Av Hashem, father, right? He's an orphan, so really HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of him, Av Hashem, or based on a pasuk in the Trei Asar, Abaya Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom. Right, a positive in you, Hashem, Yatomim, orphans find comfort. Asher b'chay Yerucham Yatom Abaya. So one of those two possibilities, he named his friend Nachmani Abaya. There are other Rishonim. The Sefer Ha'arach quotes the opposite. That really his real name was Abaya. That was his real name, and he got a nickname Nachmani. That was his nickname. Why was he called Nachmani? You can look in the Sefer Ha'arach. That's quoted in the Gilgal Hashas there. On that Rashi that explains his real name was Nachmani, so he flipped it. But either way, those were his two names. But he's the one here. Abaye is the one here saying mitzvah al hayesomim lefroa chovas avihen. That's what he says. So in this case, where the yarshim paid, and now the Baal Chov goes and takes the land back. So he says, you know, there's nothing that can be done. It is the shibud. You're owed 50, so therefore paid. Says the Gemara, "Velo amron el delo amrule hani chamshin zuze demeida arakatina." This is only when does the Baal Chov able to do this? That's only if when the Yerushim paid, they didn't say, "Well, here's money; we're buying the land back." They just gave money, so you know that could be interpreted as repaying the loan. That's when the Baal Chov could though turn around and take the piece of land again. Aval amru love. Amrulei hani chamshin zuze deme ara katina. But if they specifically say this is the 50 for the piece of land, so it's earmarked and labeled that they're buying the land back. That's what it's called. It's not repaying the loan; it's buying the land back. So siluki salkua. So then we say they have removed themselves, and the Baal Chov cannot repay take back the piece of land. Remember, cause. Metatli diaspi are not meshubti to the Baal Chov. They just bought a piece of land. If Yerushim buy a piece of land after their father died, that piece of land belongs to them. That's not their father's, right? Only karka that would belong to their father is meshubti to the loan. So in this case, if it was labeled like that, so then they would be able to push off the Baal Chov. Okay, 2 points. Number one is in the Rishonim here. And that is, we have the statement, mitzvah la'yisomim here, lefroa chovas avihen. And we discussed this a couple of daf ago, if you remember, on daf peivav. The Gemara there spoke about priyas Baal Chov mitzvah, the bottom of peivav and aleph, and spoke there about the mitzvah, the difference between mitzvah asay and mitzvah los asay. And the Gemara there dealt with whether the Rabbanan force people to do mitzvos. Kofan al mitzvah asay, Kofan also watch a Teitzei Nafsho. What's the difference between Aseis and Los Aseis? We discussed that on the Peivavim and Aleph. But a sugya that we didn't really focus on at that point, just to mention it now, and that is, well, why isn't Bez Din Kofan on this mitzvah? On Priyas Baal Chov mitzvah. If paying back a loan is a mitzvah, Priyas Baal Chov is a mitzvah, so why isn't Bez Din Kofan on it? So that's what Rashi deals with here. Rashi says, why isn't Bez Din Kofan? Mitzvah is only for Baal Chov HaSavihen. Rashi says here on the Psadi Aleph. Mishum kavod avihen. Ela, it's a mitzvah on Yisomim to pay the loans of their father because of kavod of their father. Sounds like, what's the mitzvah? Is it Priyas Baal Chov or is it Kibbut Av? So, if repaying a loan is a mitzvah, then it's repaying a loan. But it's, the Gemara says, mitzvah al yisomim lefroa chovas avihen. That's the language here. Earlier, it was just Priyas Baal Chov mitzvah. That's why Rashi didn't say it earlier. Before, I wasn't talking about a father. I was talking about a person himself. But here, Rashi says, mitzvah mishum kavod avihen, ela she'ein bezdin lakufan al kach. But bezdin doesn't force. Why not? Delav mitzvahs asay mifureshes he. Kesuka ukalulav. Rashi says it's not explicit. Bez Din only forces for explicit mitzvos in the Torah. But this is not mitzvahs. This is not explicit like sukkah and lulav. And then Rashi adds, Ela mitzvah ba'alma. It's a mitzvah ba'alma. One more word. Dirabanan. Dirabanan. That last word throws off all of the achronim. What is Rashi trying to say? It's not an explicit daraisa. It's daraisa, but not explicit. So what is he throwing in that last word for? Durabanan. And if the point is that it's durabanan, so why doesn't Rashi say it's not a mitzvah? What do you mean mifu reshet? How do you put those two? There's three categories. You can say explicit mitzvah daraisas and implicit, not explicit mitzvah daraisas and mitzvah durabanan. Rashi says it's not explicit. After all, it's durabanan. So what exactly does Rashi mean there? That is discussed by the Achronim. So one of the Achronim suggests that maybe the Iker of Rashi, right, this is suggested based on a Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel. Some say that maybe in a certain way, and all mitzvahs d'Rabbanan are mitzvahs that are not mefurish b'Torah. They are, but what does that mean? It means, we've quoted this before, the Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin, has a well-known comment where he talks about the concept of asmachta. What is asmachta? Says the Ritva, don't think asmachta is just a cute little remez that the rabbis found. Oh, it fits in, it's hinted to in the pasuk. No, chas v'shalom. Sometimes it means that. Very not commonly, says the Ritva, when it says asmachta ba'alma. But most of the time, what does asmachta mean, says the Ritva? And most dinim drabanan, says the Ritva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew about these dinim. But he wanted to give certain independent authority for the Rabbanan to come up with certain laws. And sometimes the Rabbanan have that right, that Hashem gives him that right in the Torah, lo sasser, v'yasitzik achol ashe yorucha, all the mitzvahs. But really, Hashem had a lot of these mitzvahs in mind. He just wanted to give the Rabbanan the independence to be able to make their own dinim following the Torah, figuring out exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have appreciated, would have wanted. Right? This is the concept of Ratzon Hashem, as a similar concept to Ratzon Hashem as we discussed in the past. We had a Dapi Inshir about it a couple years ago. So that is what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva Shar Gimel. And that is what many Achronim say. If this is the case, then maybe Rashi is alluding to that concept that all mitzvahs d'rabbanon are mitzvahs they're not a totally different category. They're mitzvahs d'oraisa. They're not d'oraisa, but they're in the category of mitzvahs that aren't mefurish. That's true. You do have certain mitzvahs that are d'oraisa, that are not mefurish. That's for sure. Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, many others. But a mitzvahs d'rabbanan are also not mefurish, but it's within the same genre of mitzvah. It's not two totally different ideas. They say, oh, it's d'rabbanan, of course it's not mefurish. Maybe you could still formulate it like that, because it's all ultimately coming from one source. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the rights of the Rabbanan to be able to make these laws. In the Biur Adaf, Umevur Bidvarav, Shehevdo be mitzvah d'Rabbanan l'mitzvah d'Araisa hu, Shal mitzvah d'Araisa hu isharnu b'feirish, V'al mitzvah d'Rabbanan hu isharnu mena Torah b'ofan klali. V'zu kavanas Rashi kan, Shezeh kemo kol mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, She'enim b'freshet b'Torah, V'lachin lo kofim aleha. Right, throw in the Rambam that says every time you violate a d'Rabbanan, you're violating a d'Araisa, which writes in more than one place. So maybe that's what Rashi is alluding to in this Rashi. Again, not mafurish. If not, you have to give some other idea of why Rashi emphasizes Eino mafurash versus d'Rabbanan. And again, it's implicit in the Rambam that we like to mention, and that is the Rambam says there are five categories of Torah Shebal Peh in Hagdamat the Birush Mishnayos. Five categories. What are the five? Number one is Halacha Moshe. Well, number two is Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Number one is what he calls Dvarim HaMefurashim. God, which is one. I think one is Alachmash B'Sinai. Number two is Dvarim HaMefurashim HaMekubalim Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a separate category, not Alachmash B'Sinai. For example, that a Priyetz Hadar is an Esrog. It never says anywhere that's Alachmash B'Sinai. That's accepted. That's discussed in the Gemara and Sukkah, but nobody ever has said that there's something other than Esrog. Right? Ayin Tachas Ayin, which means money. Nobody says, the Gemara goes back and forth in Hachovel about other Havaminas to say it means literally. But Lamaskana, nobody says that it means an eye for an eye literally. How do we know that? Dvarim HaMefurashim Mekubalim Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu. Those are the first two categories, and he discusses what the difference is between those two categories. Category three is the largest category, and that is all the halachas that we learn out using the Midos Sha'atar Nidreshes Bahen, the 13 of Rabbi Yishmael, and there's more. They're not all on the list. Hekish, and Gzeira Shava, and Kal Vachomer. That's category three. That's also Torah Shebal Peh. Category four, Gzeiros. Category five, Takanos. So the Rambam is very comfortable putting the Dinim D'Rabbanan under one rubric of Torah Shebal Peh. right? That's l'shitaso, because every derabbanan is a daraisa, and this concept how we're trying to explain in Rashi. But that is, Rama is very comfortable with that idea, along with the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, a lot of sources related to this, but that is one of the pshatim in Rashi. Tosfos argues on Rashi. Tosfos says that why don't we force Yorshim to pay the chov of their father? Right, Rashi says, because it's not Mefurish Durabanan. Why not? It's a Tosfos, not Tosfos here. This Tosfos is back on Peivav. Tosfos on the bottom says, in general, Prius Balchov, Bezin doesn't enforce like other mitzvahs I say. Why? Tosfos says, because it's mitzvah v'tayma. Mishum, talking about Argamara, Mishum Dahavi mitzvahs kibud. It's a mitzvahs kibud of the aim. And we know what's the rule, the Gemara in Chulin, any mitzvah, shematan schara b'tzeda, any mitzvah that the reward is written explicitly in the Torah, Bezin doesn't force. When does Bezin force? You better do this or else you're going to be punished. No, Bezin says, if the schar is written, you're not going to do the mitzvah, you lose. It says in the Torah what you're going to lose. We don't have to force you. Matan schar b'tzeda. That's what Tosfos says. So this is kibud av aim. Meaning, prius balchov of a father. Is that more in the category of prius balchov or is it in the category of kibud av? So Tosfos says, mitzvah kibud av. Matan schar b'tzeda. De'ein bezdin shalamata musaran aleha. Right, well, why doesn't Rashi just say that? Maybe Rashi says it's more in the category of Priyas Balchov than in the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Right, so Rashi feels the need to give another answer. And finally, the last point to mention on this story is on the last line. Right, what did the Gemara say? The only time that the Balchov could take the piece of land back is if it wasn't earmarked for a certain payment. But if it was, so then we say, if they said, we're buying this piece of land back, then Siluki Salkua, and they cannot... the Balchov cannot take the land back. If you look at the Chashuk Echemed, he talks about a somewhat unusual case, but it's a case in the Torah Lishma, right? The Ben Ishchai. Says the Chashuk Echemed, She'ela. There was a story of Reuven gave Shimon a loan. Shimon ayesocher nechbad va'ashir. Vayi hayom igiya lemono shcheno Reuven. Shimon was an ashir, and Reuven borrowed money from him. Reuven borrowed money from him. To make a long story short, then he says, I'm going to pay you back next month. Next month comes, doesn't pay him back. And, the payments don't happen. Even though it seems like Reuven has a fancy yahalom, a fancy jewel, diamond that he has, that he could sell, he doesn't sell it, and he never pays Shimon back. Rachmana Litzlan, what happens? Shimon gets captured. Shimon is nishpa b'shevi. And the captors ask for a lot of money to get him out. Nobody knows what to do. Finally, the Rabbanim go to Reuven and say, you know what, you know, could you please help us out here? We know you have a fancy special pearl, a diamond, and we need you to chip in. So he's like, fine, I'm a good Jew. So he sells this diamond and he gives that money to the captors in order to get to free Shimon. Fine, wonderful, we're going to send him make a big party when he gets out. The next day, Shimon goes to Reuven's door, and Reuven opens his door. He's like, hi, how are you? He's expecting a thank you note, a basket of fruit. Shimon says, thank you so much. You're amazing. But you never paid me back. The loan that you owe me. And Reuven says, what are you talking about? I just paid a humongous amount to get you out of the captives. Shimon's like, no, that was pigeon shvuyim. But you still owe me the loan. And Reuven's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't owe you the loan. That was my kavana. Oh, that was your kavana? So this was the story of the Torah Lishma. So it says, the Chashuk Echemed, well, maybe it's like our Gemara. It depends what it was ear. If the Yarshim said that we're paying for the land, that it's considered a sale, and then the Balchov cannot come back. If they don't say anything, so then, no, they'd be paid for the, who knows what it is. It's Prius Balchov, and now I'm taking the land back. So he says, L'chora, that is what you have to say here. Right, imkain huat debedido di done. Right, yachol shimon litown shachaveru hitkavin lemitzvah. You had kavana for the binyan shvuyim. Right, ra ilu haya omer b'shas pidyon shemiskavin b'kach lefro achovo haya davar moil. If he had in mind to repay the loan, also, so fine. But if not, lechor you would say that. But he says at the end, he says maybe the words, and he quotes this story from the Torah Lishma. So he says, "The ulai divrei Torah Lishma amurim rak b'mikra shenikaru barur shenasa adavar l'shem mitzvah ukedemashra b'lashon sham." Avo b'ofen ragil kivan shapodi yachol lidroshes ha'hotzaot mehanifte. There are gemaras that talk about that if somebody's captured and you know, somebody saves him, the person who saves him could go and say, to try to get back, recoup some of his expenses. So maybe here too, that would apply, and therefore Mistama, he does not have to pay him back, he could remove the amount from the chov that he owes him. Okay, that's the Chashuke Chemed. This also might relate, by the way, to Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, Ein Srichas Kavana. If Priyas Balchov is a mitzvah, what do you say about that? And maybe at the end of this time, we'll talk more about that. Okay, let's continue now with the next story. Next story about 10 lines up, 8 lines up for the bottom. Ahu Gavra. This story is called Biksuba. Right, that's the word that's used up top. Ahu Gavra Dezavna Liksubasa De'ime Betovas Hana. A man sells his mother's ksuba, the rights to collect his mother's ksuba for Tovas Hana. As we'll see, it's clear his mother is no longer married to his father. Maybe his father died, and his mother is married to someone else. So he sells to another party the rights of collecting the ksuba. What has to happen for him to be able to sell those rights? The man his mother is married to has to die. His mother gets the ksuba. Then his mother has to die, and then he arshins the ksuba. That's what has to happen, in that order. Right? If his mother dies first, then the husband gets the ksuba, he gets nothing. Right, so the husband has to die, then the mother has to die, then he'll get it. So it's pretty risky. That's why you sell it for tovas hana. You sell it for less than it's worth, because maybe it won't happen. That's what happened. But also, it's not really his yet to sell. It's his rights 2 steps away. So what's the halacha? V'amar lei, and he not only sells it, but he says to the person buying it. I guess he's giving him a good deal, not paying too much. Iisa aim uma arara. If my mother comes and complains and doesn't want you to take this, lo mafzinalach, I'm not gonna stand up for you. You know, my mother complains about it, she complains about it, and she has every right to complain, it's her ksuba, and, you know, that's basically what's called shaloba achrayas. Right? He sold it to this person, without achrayas if she wants to complain. So what happened? So far things worked out. Shchiva ime, the husband died, then the mother died, now he's getting the ksuba, velo ir ara, and the mother didn't complain the whole time she was alive. So the buyer thinks, I'm home free. Va'asa iu v'kama aher. But now he, the person who sold it, stands up and starts complaining. And he says, oh, I'm in the place of my mother. Bimakom imi ani omeid. My mother could have complained, so I'm also complaining, and it's just like she's complaining. So Sava Rami Bar Chama Lameimar Iu B'Makam Imekoi. Rami Bar Chama thought to say, okay, his complaint is good. He sold it to the other person, Shalom Bachrayas, and he is in the place of the mother, so tough luck on the buyer. Amar Le Rava, Rava says, not so fast. Nehi Da Achrayas Dida Lo Kabal Alei. Fine, he didn't accept Achrayas. If his mother would complain, Achrayas Dide Milo Kabil, but his own Achrayas? His own complaint? Of course he meant that. Right? The buyer obviously had that in mind. He was expecting that the mother's complaints would override, but the other guys, the seller's own complaints? So Rava says, Achrayas Dide Milo Kabil, he definitely accepted it. And therefore, the buyer gets the ksuba here. Rashi here discusses, why isn't this similar to a case in Meseches Baba Metzia? The Gemara there says, what if I sell a piece of land, which is not mine yet? I sold you a piece of land. Maybe I stole something. And before it was halachically mine, I sold it to you. Then I went and I bought it from the real owner. The Gemara says there, it automatically goes to the one that you sold it to. Because after all, why do you go and buy it afterwards? You want your name to be clear, and you want yourself to keep a good reputation. So if you sold something before you had the rights to sell it, and then you did something to be able to make it yours, automatically it goes to the third party. Ask Rashi, see here, to ask what was there. It's not our case. He sold it before it was his. Right when the mother died, it should automatically go to the third party. What's the difference? Says Rashi, there's a difference. Because in the case of Mamatsia, you actively did something. You went and you showed, you were megala with your actions, that you want to clear your name. And you're an honest guy. And that's why we say it goes to the third party. Here you did nothing. Memela, the Yerusha, came to you. You didn't do anything to show. So Rashi says, that's the difference. V'halo dam yula goes al sada, u'machra v'chazer v'alacha b'bayelam arishonim, d'kaim alam, ma'ar machra v'rishon l'sheni, kol z'chusha tavol yada, Rashi says. D'ahasam lakha dafka, d'tarach abasra, v'zavna, ki heichi d'leikum behem nusei, im lokeach. You want to have a clear name. So that's why we could trust with your actions that reflects that you now automatically goes to the third party. Aval nafla lo b'yerusha. Here, I'm reading Hassam Yerusha Memelavi. Lo tarach l'mekev emnuse. We have no raya that he's doing this for to clear his name. So therefore, Rashi says that's the difference between this case and that case. Okay. All my Rabbi Rachama, three lines on the bottom. Next case. Right, this is called Yaakov by the title before. Ruvei Shemachar Sadu L'Shemon Shalabach Rayis. To keep your head on for this case. Ruvain sells Shimon a piece of land, Shalom Bachrayas. What does Shalom Bachrayas mean? If Baalei Chovos come and take it from you, I'm not responsible. You can't come back to me. Even though usually something that's sold with a shtar, like a milva b'shtar, let's say he has Baalei Chovos against him, they could go and take it from the person he sold it to, but usually that person could go back to the owner and say, it was taken from me, pay me back. But if it's sold Shalom Bachrayas, he can't. So Ruvain sells to Shimon a piece of land without Achrayas, and then Shimon sells it back to Ruvain. V'yosef Shimon u'machra l'Ruvain bi'achrayas. And now he sold it back to Ruvain. So he's basically better off than he was when things started. He had a piece of land. If his creditor comes and takes it, that's it. He takes it. But now he sold it to Shimon without achrayas, and Ruvain sold it back to him with achrayas. We're not asking why somebody would do this. We're just saying, this is the metzius. So now what happens? As you would know, the Asa Balchov de Ruvain, the Katar of Limine. Ruvain comes, the Balchov of Ruvain comes to Ruvain and says, I want my land back. Ruvain's like, okay, take it. I owe you money. So he takes it from Ruvain. And now all of a sudden, Ruvain goes back to Shimon and says, okay, pay me. Pay me. Because you sold me this piece of land with Achrayas. Dinahu de Azel Shimon umapsile, says Rami Bar Chama. In all these cases, Rami Bar Chama says it's okay, and Rava argues. Rami Bar Chama says, that's it. He could go back to Reuven, and Reuven has to save him. Reuven has to pay him back. After all, Reuven sold it to him with Achrayas. That's an amazing Havamina. Right? This is Reuven's land. It's Reuven's creditor. And Reuven could go back to Shimon and get paid for it. The Ritva wonders even, what's the Havamina? We're about to reject that. But the Ritva is even saying, how could you even say that? What's the Havamina? The Yesh Makshim has the Ritva. Ma Sova, Rami Bar Chama, Tavadai, Dover Kasha Hayalomar, Shifatza Hamochar Achrayas Irurit, Shemachwas Halokeach Atzmo. Very hard to understand that. V'amr b'zakam l'shonos, many people suggested many things, says the Ritva. V'edon etzrich halokach. No, I don't have to get into other. Let me give you the ripe shot. To Rami Bar Chama Savar. To kivan shelo hayalaruvein hamocher harishon nachasam acherim ligvos mehem. When Reuven sold this property, he had nothing left. He sold this and he had nothing left. Basically, what was he saying? Shimon, you're me. You are taking my place. I have no more nachasim, so you're me. Nimsa shekishemachar karkazul shimon shelo ba'achrayas nichnasu tachas Reuven. V'haya hachov mutal karkazu o yisal kenu shimon b'mos. It's all you. I'm out of the picture. So now when it's sold back to me, this is another step. This isn't going back in time. This is another step. Kilka kisha, when he sold it back to Reuven, it's just like he sold it to anybody else. Kach kisha chazar v'umachro l'Reuven, zeshek far nifter Reuven mechov zeh. Reuven is now out of the picture. V'yasa Rava v'amar, so that's Rami Bar Chama Smara. And Rava says, no way. Now back to the Gemara. The Rava says, come on, Amar le Rava. Nehi d'achrayas d'alma kabal alei. Fine. Shimon accepted achrayas d'alma. Right, if somebody else comes and takes it kabal alei, achrayas d'navshe, mi kabal alei, I'm sorry. Right, they're fine. Reuven isn't going to be able to go back, and he's able to go back and get it if somebody else takes it. But Achrayas Danafshi Mikabole, the Achrayas of his own Baalei Chovos. Of course, he can't go back to Shimon in that case and demand the money. That's the language of Rava. If you look at the Rama has the exact same Shita. He just has the opposite lashon. The question is he talking? Are you talking the Gemara talking about Reuven or talking about Shimon? Right, you could say the Gemara is saying by Shimon. Shimon accepts other people's problems, but not your problem. Right, and the Rambam's lashon is Reuven could go back for other people's problems, but not for his own problem. So it's the exact same lashon. The Rambam's lashon is Achrayas da'alma lo kabal alei, Achrayas da'nafshe kabal alei. It's the exact same idea, but that is the Rambam. Continues the Gemara umo de Rava. But Rava will agree that he can't go back to Shimon in this case. Beruvain she Yarash Sadem Yaakov. There's a prior step to our case. Yaakov, the grandfather, had a field. He yarshined it to his son Reuven, umachro leShimon, who then sold it to Shimon. This Shimon is not a brother, right? We're not talking about the Shvatim. Shimon is a stranger. Shelo b'achray, is v'asa Shimon umachro leReuven b'achray. Same case. V'yosa b'alchov di Yaakov v'kataref lemine. There, dinahu, the b'alchov of Yaakov is here. So there, Reuven can go. Dinahu da'azel Shimon umafsi lelemine. Shimon could go. Shimon has to go and pay him back. Why? My taima b'alchov di Yaakov. You don't see that Reuven is stepping into the shoes of Yaakov. No, a Balchov of Yaakov is a different Balchov. And therefore, in that case, Reuven would be able to collect. You don't say, look at Rashi's Lashon here. Rashi at the end of Dibur Maskil Kebalchov. Rashi says, V'lo amrinan de Reuven kara da'avuahu. We don't say that Reuven is literally the lap of his father. What's Rashi alluding to? We know there are some areas of halacha. There's a concept of Yerusha, where it goes from the Morish to the Yorish, as we discussed yesterday. But there are also other areas of halacha where the child steps into the shoes of the father. It's not that something transfers from the father to the son. The son becomes the father. We said maybe that's Yerusha's Haben, according to some Lamdas cases from Rabbi Chanan yesterday. It's not what the Gemara is saying here. But there are certain halachos that need that. Eved Ivri. Right, does an Eved Ivri belong if Baal dies? Does it go to the son? So the Gemara talks about it. In Kiddushin, Brakara Davuha. There are certain halachas where transferring is not good enough. It has to be going into the shoes of. So that's what Rashi says here, is not happening here. Right, it's not happening here that Bra is Kara Davuha. And even though that there is a mitzvah, as we said, mitzvah lefrah chova savihen, but my father's Baal Chov is not my Baal Chov. Right, that's not, I don't step into his shoes in that way. Yes, I have to, it's a mitzvah for me to pay for it, but I don't step into his shoes. That is the emphasis, the language of the Shita Mekubetzes here, expanding on Rashi. Right, af al pi shemitzvah lisom in lefer achovas avihen, afilu hachi lo daininan balchov de Yaakov, kumon balchov de Reuven, v'yesh lo l'shimon l'salik balchov shel Yaakov. Right, it's not exactly you don't say it's exactly the same as that. There is a discussion here in the Me'iri. In the Me'iri. Two dais. If you say the same thing from a, what if somebody stole something? Somebody stole something. Reuven stole, and then he sold it to Shimon. And now the Nigzal comes and takes it. So what do you say in that case? That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's suffix here also, based on this Me'iri. He doesn't quote the Me'iri, but I don't think he had the Me'iri, except the Me'iri in the Shimon Kubetzes. But says Rabbi Akiva Eiger in this case, he has this suffix, in a tshuva, simin kuf mem ches. Ani navoch lefi sha'a, im besadeh gzula, shehotzi anigzal miyad amocha arishon. So in this case, instead of Reuven, what did the Gemara say? If Reuven yarshins it from his father, then sells it to Shimon without achrayas, sells it back with achrayas, and then the Baal Chov of Yaakov takes it, so then Reuven's off the hook. But because it wasn't his to start with. So what about this case that wasn't his to start with? He stole it! So emotionally we'll say, okay, come on. He stole it? Of course he can't go back to Shimon. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not dealing with emotions here. Right? He's dealing with halachas. Halach, the Gemara says, if something starts, it belongs to Reuven, that's Achrayas Didei. If something starts outside of Reuven, starts with Yaakov, that's Achrayas Da'achirim. So what about if Reuven stole it? And then the Nigzal eventually comes. So what do you say in that case? So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, in Basad Gzula Shotia Nigzal Miyad Amocha Rishon, Im Yochol Lachzor Al Amocha Lo. Can he go back? He says, Bigzela Eina Nigzal Toref Mikocho Daha Nigzal, El Bechol Makom Shemotzi Shalonotel. This isn't Reuven's, period. It wasn't Reuven's to sell. Just like when the father yarshed, it didn't start off, and wherever it is, it was always the Nigzal's. So if Shimon sold it to him with Achrayas, so maybe he should be able to recoup his money. Bigzula, Bikia Gavna, Deina Tar Mikoach Reuven, Havik Achrayas da Alma. Ukein Damrinan, Balchov di Yaakov, Kabalchov da Alma Dami. Hachanami, Yishlome, Bigzula, Havitamid Kimome Alma. This is a great example of a posek being so objective in his thinking, in that emotionally we would say, of course, this is crazy. Of course he's not going to be able to get his money back. He stole it. Rabbi Kiviger says maybe not so fast. Okay, in the Maskana he might agree, but at least in the Shakla Vitaria of the Tshuva, he is going through and saying maybe even if he was the Gazlan, he would be able to get his money back. Okay, continuing, moving right along. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Next case, right? We're almost through all of them. Says Rami Bar Chama, Reuven Shemachar Sadav LeShimon Bachrayis. Another case, Reuven sold Shimon a field with Achrayis, meaning if something happens, I'm going to pay you back. But the buyer did not pay it right away. Right? He says, I owe you the money on credit. He owes him the money. Before he was able to pay Reuven, Mace Reuven, Reuven died. The Baal de Reuven, Shimon. The Baal of Reuven comes and now takes it from Shimon, who has not paid for the field yet. So the Baal of Reuven, Reuven owes this guy money. He goes to Shimon and says, I'm taking the field. So Shimon's like, okay, he's taking the field. Shimon now, what's the idea? Shimon never paid yet, but this field was sold to him by Achrayus. So what happens now? Upaisei bezuzei. What does Shimon do? Shimon, when the Baal Chov comes and wants to take the land, Shimon says, you know what? Here, take money instead. Let me keep the piece of land. That's what he does. Upaisei bezuzei. So now what? Dinahu da Amri le B'nai Reuven. So now the B'nai Reuven, Shimon now goes back to the B'nai Reuven and says, hey, your father sold it to me with Achrayus. The B'nai Reuven say, sorry, why? You messed up. Dina, what could the B'nai Reuven say? Anan metaltali shavak avun gabach. Our father left metaltalin by you, meaning you owed us money, right? You owed us the loan. And what's the rule? Metaltal diasmi le balchov lo mishtabdi. Metalta is not meshubit to Baalei Chovos. So that money you pay, you don't have to pay him the loan. You don't have to pay him the money. Right? The land, okay. Land is meshubit. But you gave him money? That money you didn't, wasn't meshubit. So that was as if it was our money that you gave when you didn't have to. That's your responsibility. You messed up. So we're not paying you. So that's the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ipikeach Idach. If though this guy is smart now, I'll give him an eitzah what to do right now. You know what he could do? Okay, he's saying, Yarshim, I owe you. I messed up, but I still owe you the loan. Magvi luhuni alayu ara. Take this piece of land. Take it back. Vahadar gavi leminai. And then he'll take it back from them. He pays them back the loan by giving back the land, which is worth money. Not reneging on the sale. Or maybe even that. But even, let's say it's worth money. And now, anything that's owed by the father, owed to the father, that he gets back after he dies, is considered it was owned by the father. And Kid Rav Nachman, Tam Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Yisomim Shagavu Karka B'Chovas Avihen, Balchov Chozer V'Gobo Samehen. If a father collects karka, and after he dies, the karka goes back to his estate, it's as if he owned that beforehand. And therefore the Balchov could go, it's not that it was sold to the Yarshim. It's as if the father owned it, and therefore this person, this buyer, could go, Shimon could go back and take the land back. So that's Reuven and Shimon. Why exactly did the Gemara give the case where he didn't pay yet? Zakavala b'milve? What's the chiddush of that case? Says the Ritva. Yesha pirshu. Delo shani lan ba'adina bein zakfan b'milve lo zakfan. Some say, doesn't matter. Velo naka zakfan b'milve, elo la'ashmi'inan. The reason it says the case of that he didn't pay yet is to teach us the following chiddush. The af agav de ein karka nikne b'milve, even though normally you say karka cannot be bought with milve, right? It's not one of the three kinyanim that you could buy karka with, right? Kesef, shtar, and chazaka, the three mentioned in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Hasam hu b'milve shahaya hamocher chay v'lokeach, says the Ritva. When the Gemara says elsewhere that you can't buy a piece of land with a milve, what does it mean? It means that I buy a piece of land from you. You give me the land. I owe you money. Let's say I owe you money, then I'm buying a piece of land from you. So you know what I say? You know what? I'm not paying you. I owe you money, so I'm going to keep the money. I'm going to keep the money. I'm not going to pay you, and then that's the way I'm buying this piece of land, right? I'm supposed to pay you. So you give me the land, and I'm not going to give you the money, right? So Reuven owes, let's use names, it's easier. Reuven owes Shimon money. So Reuven's supposed to pay. But instead, Reuven's going to sell Shimon a piece of land, right? That's the way it goes. And Shimon's going to say, okay, keep the money. That doesn't work. Because there was no transfer of money at the time, just like you get married that way. HaMakadish B'milva Einim Mekudeshes. That, says the Ritva, is what doesn't work. But what does work? I'm selling you a piece of land. You don't have money on you right now. So I say, okay, you owe it to me. Of course that works. Zachfun bemilva at the moment of the loan, at the sale, yeah, we always pay on credit. Right, what does the Gemara mean elsewhere that you can't buy with milva? That means if the money's already in the reshus of the other person. And we say, says the Ritva, milva lo tsa nitna, vein kan kezav liknos bo, ava milva zushe mischayev alokeach achshav lamocher, kipiron gomer, uvakonim idin kesef. That's an important chiluk the Ritva makes, just to keep in mind. Meaning, mekadish b'milveh or mocher b'milveh doesn't work if there's a previous loan that is owed. But to buy something right now on credit, that of course works. Right? We always buy things on credit. So the Ritva says, that's possibly the chiddush here, just to point out that distinction. That's why it says, zokev alav b'milveh. Good. Next case. Amar Rabba. Amar Rabba, third to last case. Second to last case for today. Amar Rabba, Ruvain shemacher kosa dosa l'Shimon. Ruvain sold all of his nechas, all of his fields to Shimon. All of them. Right? Why are all these cases here, by the way? Because we had the case in the Mishnah where somebody left, he had a certain amount of fields, a certain number of ksubas to pay. We'll get to another exciting Mishnah tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But here, Rabba says, Ruvain sold all of his others to Shimon. The chazar Shimon umachar sade achas to Levi. Then Shimon went and sold one of those fields to Levi. Rashi points out, to Machlokas, we'll go with Rashi's pshat, Reuven sold all of his fields to Shimon in one shtar. It was all one shot. Everything. And then Shimon now sold one of those fields to Levi. The Asa Balchov de Reuven. And now Reuven's Balchov comes. So who does he collect from? Collect from? Shimon or Levi? Right? Reuven's stuff is spread out now. Ratza Mizegove, Ratza Mizegove. He has a choice. He can collect from either Shimon or Levi. That is because Levi has some of the property that was by Reuven also. That is the din. Velo Amran, but this is only Ella Dezavna Benonis. A Balchov is usually, we know there are three different qualities of land. Idis, Benonis, and Ziburis. A Balchov has rights to collect Benonis. So, only, says the Gemara, he can collect from either one if he sold him Benonis. So now, Levi has Benonis and Shimon has Benonis. So either one he could go collect. Aval Zavna Idis Viziburis. But if Levi bought the best or the worst, he did not buy Benonis. So then Matzi Amar Leitza, Levi could say to the Balchov, you're not coming to me. I dafka didn't buy Benonis because I knew that's what's Meshubah to the Balchov, so I left that with Shimon, and therefore that's what I can give you. If he sold, let's just finish the line first. Ubeinanis nami lo amran el dolo shavak beinanis dichvasa. And it's only also, he can only go to beinanis of either one if he did not leave eino beinanis dichvasa by Shimon. Aval shavak beinanis dichvasa. Even if Levi bought some beinanis, but he left some beinanis by Shimon also, matzi amarle hinachti luchamakom likvasi manu. Levi can still say, I left you some beinanis, so therefore you can collect from him. Rashi discusses that when the first line, Ratzimizekova, what if all the beinanis was sold to Levi? Rashi says, he could still go to Shimon. Shimon was the prior Balchov. Shimon, Rashi says, Hilchach, Ratzah Ligvos Mishimon Idis Gove. He could even collect Idis from Shimon. To Amar Lei, Atola Kachta Kolasados, Vinechnasta Tachas Ruvain, Lish Tabi Lechovi. Right? This is like, if there's Bnei Chorin, you can't go to Mishubadim. Right? If their Bnei Chorin is Idis. So says Rashi, that as long as Shimon has something left, he could go to Shimon, even if Shimon's land is better than Levi's. Right? The Gemara is looking at it from Levi's vantage point. If Levi left Benonis, then if he didn't leave any other Benonis. But, if, can he go to Shimon? What about Shimon's? Shimon can't complain. If this is taken, because he steps into the shoes of Reuven totally. Right? The Ritva seems to argue on that, but that is that case number, for Rami Bracham in terms of selling all the shtaris. Last case for today, Amar Abaya. Reuven Shemacher Sada L'Shimon Ba'achrayis. What happened? Reuven sold the Sada. V'asa Balchov de Reuven V'katar V'liminei. Now Reuven's Balchov, Reuven sees that his Balchov is walking to Shimon's house to go get the property back. Dina hu de'azil Reuven u'mafsilei. Reuven could go stop him on the street and start being mafayis him as he's going to Shimon's house. V'lo masi amar leh, and the Baal Chov cannot say to Reuven, la bal dvarim didiat. I'm not dealing with you right now. Shimon has the property, I'm going to Shimon. He can't say that to Reuven, get out of here, I'm not dealing with you. You know, he can't say that. Why? Mishum de amar leh, de mafkas minei alai hadar. If you go to him and are motzi the land from him, he's going to come back to me. So I'm jumping the gun, I'm stopping you from going to him. And the Baal Chov cannot say to Reuven, you know, leave. V'ika da'amri, an even bigger chiddush, a different version, is afilu shelo b'achrayas, nami. Even if Reuven sold it to Shimon without achrayas. So then you might say, the Baal Chov could say, for sure, what are you doing here? I'm taking it from Shimon. Shimon's not going back to you. You sold it without achrayas. Still Reuven could come and stop him. Da'amalei lo nicha le detevi le l'shimon taromas alai. I don't want Shimon to think I'm a bad guy, to be upset at me. So therefore, he could still stop him. The big Shiloh, this big fat Tosfos, and there are many, I saw in the B'rei Daf, 13 answers in the Rishonim. What exactly is Reuven doing here? He's jumping and saying, no, please, I'm gonna, what is Reuven gonna taina? Like, what is Reuven gonna taina that Shimon won't taina? He's trying to jump and say, don't go to Shimon! Whatever Shimon can say, whatever Reuven's saying, Shimon's, like, what's the difference? What is he trying to make him not go to Shimon? You know, that's Tosfos's kasha. Umakshim, says Tosfos in the big Tosfos. My nafgamina, sheyiton imo Reuven velo Shimon. We're saying, oh, the Baal Chov cannot say Reuven, no, don't deal with me. What would Reuven say that's better, that the Baal Chov doesn't want to listen to? Oh no, let me deal with Shimon. Right? Ma yerviach Shimon bekach. Halakom ha sheyiton Reuven, yiton Shimon. It's all the same tainas, no? So, many suggestions given. Tosfos says, oh, maybe there are edim in the case. Maybe there are edim about something crucial, and they're Shimon's relatives, not Reuven's relatives. So, you know, Reuven wants to deal with him because they're not krovim to him. They're krovim to Shimon. So Tosfos said that can't be because we know they're still considered krovim. We know if they're a krovim of a love, an arev can't use those krovim because they'll say, you know, if you don't pay, the arev is connected, right? The cosigner. So that can't be a nafgamina. So there are different days. Rashi already asks this kasha implicitly. Rashi says, right, maybe there's, Reuven's like has another chov that's owed to him by the Baal Chov. Oh, ishtabali dlo praticha. Maybe Reuven knows that he paid the loan already. And Shimon doesn't know that. So he wants to say, swear to me, I paid you already. Ishtabali dlo praticha. And Shimon wouldn't be able to taina that. Because Shimon doesn't know. It's for a suffix. To taina a suffix there. Right, many different suggestions given in these cases, what exactly is the claim that Reuven has that would be better than Shimon? Just some of the other suggestions given. Tosfos says Mamitzia that what happens if Shimon says that I don't have any rayas, I'm sorry. So the Gemara Mishnah Sanhedrin says if you say no, you can't bring one next week. But Reuven can bring one. What if Shimon already said once that he doesn't have any rayas? Get all these different ukimtas. What if the pashtus is? What if Reuven is a better arguer? Some people are good arguers. Some people you can never win an argument with. They're always convincing. So what if Reuven is a better convincer and he'll make a better, you know, he's his own lawyer. Right? That's what the some suggest. In this case, this is what one of the suggestions of the Ramban. Shavkamino ba'ofan sharuven pikeach ubal dvarim yoser mishimon l'chein rosolaton bimkomo. Right? Or what if one says he wants to go to the Reuven says he wants to go to the Beis HaGadol. All different suggestions given. L'maisa, the halacha is that for whatever reason, Reuven is allowed to claim la bal dvarim he could go against the tain of la bal dvarim didiat, and he could be the bal davar to the Baal Chov and not allow him to go to Shimon. Okay, there's one other case. Last case of the of this number was called Asikin in the title. We'll have to leave that for tomorrow, and then as we get to the Mishnah outside the Gimel. A number of people have emailed me already. Yes, there is a the Nobel Prize laureate that has written about tomorrow's Mishnah. Beth Hashem will mention that in terms of the games theory of math, helping to explain tomorrow's Mishnah. Beth Hashem will get to that. Exciting times here in Dafyomi land, relating the Nobel Prize to the Mishnah in Ksubis. Okay, we'll stop here.